This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Terry Tote.
Good morning, sir.
How goes it?
It goes.
Your favorite time of the year?
Oh, it's a good time of the year.
And it has nothing to do with the Christmas season?
No, it has nothing to do with Christmas season. It just happens to be around basketball
season. Yeah, that's right. They went and put Christmas right smack dab in the middle of basketball.
Well, you know, and I've always wondered, and I've asked this question before, why in the world would you have two holidays like Christmas and New Year's a week apart? And August has no holiday.
Right.
Start the new year in August.
Yeah,
make that the new year, okay?
Between Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's,
yeah.
You get jam-packed here at the end.
How stupid is this?
I can only eat so much turkey in a four-week span.
But we can do basketball.
Yes, we can.
We can handle basketball.
Absolutely. So. We had a girls-boys doubleheader last night from Staunton High School as the Litchfield Purple Panthers went into town and won both ball games. The girls won 57-21. The boys won 57-45. Abby Brockmar, 28 points last night. So that brings her career mark to 1,812.
Mm.
100 points away from the Litchfield scoring record.
Wow.
And she's got a lot of games left.
A lot of games to play, yeah. Yeah. So that could happen here before first of the year. Then. Yeah.
She hasn't been held under 20 at any game this year. They're 6-1.
Yeah.
Only lost two Mount Olive.
So, yeah, that's right. And by the way, Mount Olive won the Thanksgiving tournament at Litchfield. So congratulations to the Lady Wildcats. Another young lady that has impressed me, Grace Zachary for Carlinville.
Absolutely.
Pretty darn good ball player. I like watching her play. Yeah.
She doesn't leave anything out there.
No, she does not. But Abby Brockmeyer certainly, you know, already signed to go to Carbondale. And she's seeing, let's see, the other night she saw Box and Chaser, Triangle and Two.
The Triangle and Two, yeah. The two were on her.
The two were on her, yes.
Think about that for a second.
So.
And like even last night, I mean, when she's in the paint, the whole defense just collapses all around her. I mean, she's getting hacked and hammered, and that's going to be her season, though.
That's going to be the season, and, you know, you step up to the college level, and that's part of the play.
And we've seen it the last couple of years, but even more so this year. She's handling the ball more out front, looks so comfortable doing it. She can knock down the three ball, and that will be her place in college ball, will be on the perimeter.
Sure, sure. And, you know, the thing you want is to make sure just have a great season. You know, have some fun. And of course, they're still going to have to play at the 3A level as far as postseason is concerned. But, you know, make the best of it. Your senior season builds the memories and, you know, see what happens.
She has fun playing.
She has fun playing. And, you know, people were asking me, probably a month, 6 weeks ago, you know, what can we expect in basketball this year around here? And I said, you know, we may not have any superstar teams, but we have a lot of competitive teams, so, which makes for some good competition.
And the best player in the greater area.
Yeah.
I mean, you can include Springfield.
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah.
I honestly believe you can, yes. She's head and shoulders, literally, and figuratively, over most everybody. Yeah.
And it really does seem, I mean, her 4 years have gone so fast. Mm-hmm. It seems just like the other day that we were hearing about this eighth grader, Abby Brockmeyer.
Yeah.
And now here she is.
But, you know, and to the much to the chagrin of Litchfield and much to the pleasure of the rest of the conference, you know, the Maddie Greeling thing, you know, when Maddie... Well, you know, we saw her in junior high, and of course, Maddie played for Southwestern for 4 years, but it seemed like she was there for eight, and at least if you're the opposing coaches. So,
oh, absolutely.
You know, those great players have that effect on the opposition, and she's one of them. So.
When you start as a true freshman and dominate from freshman to senior, it seems like you're there
for a long time. A lot of memories, and people tend to remember you. Yeah,
absolutely.
So, a lot of fun. So, and you know, and I make this comment because about once a year we get a girls boys varsity doubleheader. I think those are great ideas. I really do think that it's a terrific idea to put varsity games back-to-back like that.
Fun night of basketball. I remember a few years back, Hillsborough and Carlinville did something like that, but it was on a Saturday, so they started with the JV games and then rolled right through with the varsity contests back-to-back. And I'm with you. I'm surprised we don't see more of that.
Yeah, just you know, a couple times a year for each team, maybe. I don't know. Just something to think about. I think I think the, of course, the crowd tends to build during the first game. And maybe you ought to do the boys game first and then do the girls game. You never know. I mean, just to
there's play. There's no law against it, is there?
There's no law against it. No, absolutely not. So playing in front of a crowd is good. That's a lot of fun.
Packed gyms are nice.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. By the way, a week ago we were at Carlinville High School for the ceremony and, want to thank, you know, Darren Deneve and Pat Drew, the AD and principal, and of course Chad Easterday, the head coach, and all of our friends at Carlinville High School. They're always great hosts, and we appreciate the fact that we were allowed to be part of that, that ceremony. So that was neat. And you, of course, you had the run.
That was a fun ride.
Oh
man.
My gosh.
That was a fun ride.
Wow. Seems like it was a month ago now.
It really does.
It really does.
See, when you go all the way to the state championship, you play five playoff games.
Yeah.
You know, after playing nine regular season games, you play more than half of a regular year.
Yeah, yeah. You'd more than double your season.
It's hard to even remember the first week of the year, of the regular season.
But as always, it went fast.
Oh, it did.
And then the playoffs come along, and, you know, it's good to have football late in the season. It's just exciting. It doesn't make any difference who's playing from our area. And that North Mac Carlinville game was still just, oh my God.
Classic.
Wow.
Classic.
Wow.
Of course, if you want to relive that at any point, we got it on the website, WSMIRadio.com. Free download for you on the website. But yeah, that was an all-time classic ball game. That'll be remembered for a long time.
Long, long time. Tons of people there. Cold afternoon.
Cold, the worst weather day we've had all year
was that
Saturday afternoon.
Sure,
it was nasty.
And, you know, and normally we get a couple of really kind of crappy nights for football. But we really didn't have any this year. As our news stories this morning indicated how warm the autumn has been. That was a cold, windy, blustery day.
September was worse. We had several games that got rained out early in the year. But then after that, I mean, it was good weather all the way through.
The weather was pretty darn good. So
and it was warmer almost in Champaign for the championship game than it was in Verdon for that semifinal game. I tell you what.
The wind was just
wouldn't lay down.
No. It was just straight out of the west, if memory serves me.
Yeah, about 20 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And gusting.
Yeah. Whew. So, but
of course, North Mac and Carlinville are going to meet on the basketball floor Tuesday night. That'll be the second game of our boys' doubleheader on Tuesday. And
they're going to meet Monday night as well in girls' basketball. So that'll be our second game Monday night, too. So
that boys' game will be so interesting, because there's enough players that cross over from the football field to the basketball floor. That's going to be an intense matchup, I would imagine.
Well, I would think so. I would think so. And you know, North Mac has the advantage basketball-wise of having an additional week of practice and getting back towards the basketball thing. So, boy, you talk about athletes out there. Yeah. Holy mackerel.
And I don't mean this as disrespect to Carlinville's basketball team, but Carlinville's always been a football school.
Yeah.
North Mac has had, you go back to even Verdon and Girard, they've had strong basketball teams their time.
Sure. Bet there's a pretty good crowd there that night.
I would think so.
Huh?
I would think so.
Yeah.
Probably won't be 4,000 people ballpark like we had at the football game, but
bet there'd be a good crowd.
I bet it won't take you 20 minutes to get from Verdon to Girard.
Probably not. Probably not.
That was the wildest thing to me about that day.
Yeah. Isn't it funny how it's the sidebar things that sometimes you remember about these trips and these moments that we have in sports history and when you get old enough and you look back on certain things, the things that you tend to remember.
Yeah, the game really does kind of recede into the background.
Yeah.
And you remember, like for Carlinville, they won't necessarily remember the game itself up at U of I, but they'll remember the bus ride up, the police escort into town, being on the U of I practice field inside, in the collegiate locker rooms. Those are the things that they'll remember 20 years from now.
And, you know, in talking to some of the kids last week and in talking to some of the parents yesterday at the Christmas market, the thing that, and I was just, you know, we're just conversing. What do you remember most about it? And they said that the kids probably remember most the camaraderie.
Yeah.
And you know, the sense of being part of that team, which will live forever. So that's neat.
It is.
So it really, really is. So congratulations to the Cavies and congratulations to North Mac. Boy, what a team they had.
The last 2 years, North Mac has had such a great team.
Oh, wow. They have just been awesome. They've been terrific, absolutely terrific. So,
of course, the one downside for Cromerville was they had one practice from football to their first game against Gillespie.
But they're
on
gamers,
Tuesday.
Aren't they?
Oh, absolutely.
They're gamers.
Yeah.
You Adam got
Walton
a ball game,
and Brady
we'll
James
play.
In there.
Yeah. Have game, we'll play.
That's exactly right.
Throw it out on the floor. Let's see what happens. So.
O to B, 17 again.
Oh,
you don't get tired.
Yeah. Well, you might get tired, but
different type of tired.
You know, after you eat a couple of things and guzzle down some Gatorade, you're okay.
Yeah, you don't need to lay around for a week and take a nap.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And lament about the fact, oh, God, a week ago I had all this going on. So, tell you what, let's get to a break. We'll come back and we'll talk to some coaches and talk some basketball. In fact, we have some junior high girls basketball we probably need to talk about, and we'll do that in just a moment. As Sports Saturday rolls on, a quick reminder, Illinois, VCU, 1 o'clock this afternoon on WAOX 105.3 The Ox.
Well, they better handle the VCU pressure better than they handled the West Virginia pressure.
Tell you what, though, against NC State, they looked awful doggone good. But, yeah.
You know, but that's kind of
the Illini are chameleons.
They really are.
They really are.
They really are. Yeah, they can look good on Monday and then look like they've never played on Tuesday.
Basketball? What's that?
Never heard of it.
Yeah.
The IESA teams that are still alive in the 7th grade state tournament to be played at Auburn in Class 3A. A quarterfinal game this morning at 11:30. Southwestern undefeated at 23-0. They will take on Steger Columbia, who was under 500 at 8-10. But don't be fooled. They're from the Chicagoland area, so they have played some people up north there. The winner of that game today will play in the semifinals tonight at 5 o'clock. In Class 1A, being played at Normal, quarterfinal game at 10 o'clock this morning, Paint a Sacred Heart at 22-1 will take on Royal Prairie View Ogden. They are 23-1, the winner of that game, into the semifinals tonight at 5 o'clock. In 8th grade, last night, regional championships, Gillespie, these are IESA scores. Gillespie beat Southwestern 33-22. Gillespie now 22-2. And then at Vandalia, Staunton beat the Vandals, or I don't know what the Vandalia junior high team is named, but 31-29 was the Staunton win. Staunton 12-10. So it's Gillespie and Staunton in the sectional at Ben Gill Elementary in Gillespie on Wednesday at 6:30. The winner into the state tournament at Metamora High School next Saturday. And it was a neat moment last night at Staunton High School after the girls boys doubleheader had wrapped up. The Staunton Terriers came onto the floor and showed off their regional championship plaque and got a real nice ovation from the crowd that had been there watching the varsity ball game. So that was a neat moment last night for Staunton. But Terry, it will be interesting to see Gillespie and Staunton. Of course, they're longtime rivals at the high school level. Now here they are in junior high basketball with a trip to state on the line.
Oh, yeah. What better game, right?
Can't have one better than that. So we'll see if we can get a hold of Kevin Gray this morning, talk to Kevin about his Gillespie basketball program. Of course, he's at the junior high level, at the high school level as well. And that is such a key if you want to build a basketball program. And it seems to be more important or more pressing in girls basketball to have that continuity from the junior high level to the high school level. And Kevin Gray is certainly building a very outstanding program at Gillespie. Let's get you some high school basketball scores from last night. You mentioned the girls boys doubleheader between Litchfield and Staunton. The Litchfield girls won 57-21. Then the Litchfield boys won 57-45 behind 6'6 sophomore Dylan Heeman, who scored 16 points and really turned that game around in the second quarter for the Purple Panthers. Lincolnwood last night got by Mount Olive 57-32. Marquette, which has a very powerful squad this year, survived at Nokomis 49-41. Wood River beat Carthenville 55-45. Breeze Modern Day put 82 on the Miners last night and won 82-53. Williamsville took care of North Mac 59-48. In overtime, Bunker Hill beat Calhoun 58-57. Chase Williams hit a three-pointer at the buzzer to give the Minutemen a one-point win. At Carlisle last night in the Kaskaskian tournament, New Athens over Flora 54-44. And in overtime, Woodlawn slipped past Greenville 50-49. St. Teresa beat Auburn last night 45-43. It was Altamont over Vandalia 76-72. Those were some of the area scores from last night. In girls' games to be played today, Bunker Hill will be entertaining Metro East Lutheran. Carlinville is traveling to Auburn. Vandalia will be at Southwestern. And Mount Zion will be at Pena. Boys' game scheduled for today, Litchfield traveling to Vandalia. Athens will be at North Mac to take on the Panthers. And over at Carlisle in the Kaskaskian Tournament at 3 o'clock, it's Flora and Greenville. The Toppers will play at 4:30 against Woodlawn. At 6 o'clock, it'll be New Athens and Carlisle. And then at 7:30, a great game, it'll be Oakville and Pinckneyville for what I presume would be the championship tonight at the Kaskaskian Classic. That'll be a classic ball game coming up at Carlisle tonight. And that really is a sensational early season tournament for boys basketball over there at Carlisle. Some other scores from last night around the central part of the state. Carrollton beat Roxana 50-40. It was Effingham over Charleston 90-66. Cahokia beat Mount Vernon 42-24. Arcola beat Tri-County 58-48. Barry Western over Griggsville Perry 74-64. And every time I hear the name Barry, I think back to my junior high days. They beat us in the state tournament my eighth grade year. That's what I think of every time I see a Barry score. Beecher City, Cowden, Herrick, they beat Ramsey 75-61. Altoff Catholic over Carbondale 85-52. It was Brownstown, St. Elmo 57, Neoga 45. Decatur Lutheran beat DeLand Weldon 82-30. And joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the Litchfield Lady Purple Panthers, Rob Corso. Rob, thank you for a few minutes of your time this morning. How you doing today?
No problem. Good morning, guys.
Always good to talk to you. And you got a nice win last night over Staunton. You guys were off to a very good start this year at 6-1. And a lot of the early season focus, rightfully so, has been on Abby Brockmeyer. She continues her assault on the Litchfield scoring record.
Yeah, she's off to a really good start, and especially from the free throw line. Last year she struggled a little bit at the foul line. She's really knocked them down this year.
And she's going to spend a lot of time at the free throw line this year.
Yeah, she does draw attention, a lot of contact. And I mean, she's used to it. We're used to it. And we're going to keep feeding her, though. We have to.
And it kind of started last year, Rob, with maybe some of the more trick-type defenses, you know, box and chaser, and now the triangle and two. That's just something you're going to see the rest of the year.
Yeah, and we expected it, and it's taken the girls a little time to adjust to it. We've put some sets in, but we're trying to teach the girls just to play basketball, and they're adjusting pretty well to it.
And I guess the trick when you have a dominant player like Abby for the other kids, Rob, is to not just get caught standing around watching Abby, waiting for Abby to take care of it.
Yeah, that is true. Once in a while you look on film, everyone's kind of standing around watching, and it's easy to do. She's very unselfish, and she'll get rid of the ball, but they have to learn how to move and find their shots, and they're all getting better. It's been kind of an adjustment period for us. But I say the girls, I mean, every game you can see they're getting more comfortable with the situation.
And there's more than one time when Abby will throw that ball and, oops, all of a sudden, that surprised me.
Yeah.
Because you're not really expecting it.
No, the girls, I mean, we're practicing this morning right now. She about hit a girl in the nose. Now, I mean, she's really working hard, and, the girls will say they're adjusting.
Rob, I thought you guys had a real nice win on Tuesday night. The game was played at Lincolnwood, but against a gritty, tough Williamsville squad.
Yeah, that was a game we really didn't know what was going to come of it because they've been playing some pretty good competition in the Pena tournament. They play very hard man-to-man defense. It was a grind, and we had some other girls step up. Val came in, knocked down a shot, and they tried to go zone, and she knocked down a shot, and they got out of that real fast. And I thought Jade Taylor really improves her game. She's starting to take a little more of a leadership role, and when she's playing at a high level, we're a lot more dangerous.
And you really do, I mean, you need your point guard to be the leader on the floor.
Oh, there's no question about that. I mean, with Abby drawing a lot of attention, if Jade can get the ball in certain situations and attack, she's very good attacking the basket off the dribble, and she just needs a little confidence. But, I mean, she's played well. She played very well last night against Staunton.
At this point in the season, Rob, are you surprised about the ball club, about the record, the way the team has been playing? Has there been anything that's kind of surprised you along the way at this point?
Not too much. We're trying. We knew we were going to have to bring some of the younger ones along a little faster than we wanted to. Greta Fleming and Emily Sinion have been playing a lot more minutes than we really wanted them to, but they're taking to it. I mean, when you're you know, it's such a tough transition. It looks, doesn't look like that for the average fan sitting in the bleachers where a kid playing JV ball goes to varsity. The game's a lot faster. There's much more, you know, subtle things that you have to be able to do to be successful. And they're working through it. And sometimes the average fan doesn't catch that, but they're working through it.
And when you say faster, it's a situation where maybe they're just a half a second behind maybe moving from point A to point B. And really that's the only difference.
Right. And they have to kind of anticipate what's going to happen. And, you know, when you haven't seen that sort of thing and not been in that situation. And again, you know, there's a little more pressure, whether it was internal or external to perform. And that's been part of the situation too.
Rob, not to give away any trade secrets, but what are a couple of areas where you think, boy, we got to get better as the year goes on?
Well, we need some of the other players to look to score more. Again, they're going to be taking Abby away from us, which, of course, you would do that. They need to look to find their role, where they can score from, and look to work, help each other out, set some more screens away from the ball and open themselves up, things of this nature. Also, just overall, ball handling needs to improve. So, but other than that, I think, you know, we're just going to keep rolling.
Coaches are always looking for ways to cut down on turnovers, aren't they?
They are. I mean, we talked about decision-making in situations. We kind of use the football term, you know, down and distance. What's the situation of the game? What's a good risk? What's a bad risk? But again, that just experience is the greatest teacher. And you're going to make some mistakes and have some growing pains. That's part of it.
And, Rob, when you have a game like you did last night where you had such a big lead, from a coach's perspective, it's nice to be able to get some kids some varsity experience.
Yeah, we were able to get Devin Morgan and Carson Jackson off the bench a little bit, and I thought they did pretty well. And Greta Fleming had a really nice first quarter coming off the bench. I thought the bad thing was they had to play a JV game after that, and they were pretty worn out after that. But, no, it was really good, and that's going to bode well for the future. To get a game like that, to get some experience. It just helps them relax. Well, next time they get on the floor, it'll be easier for them.
Rob Kortz, the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers, thanks for a few minutes of your time, sir. We'll let you get back to practice.
All right. I appreciate it. Have a good one, guys.
All right. Rob Corso, the Litchfield Lady Purple Panthers head coach. Hard to believe, Terry. He's already in his fifth year now.
I know. That's crazy, man, isn't it? Time flies. Wow. It really does. And Rob's done a great job.
Oh, he has.
He's done a great job with the Panthers. And, you know, and he was talking about bringing the younger players along. And, you know, that's not an easy thing to do sometimes because it's a confidence thing. You know, but once you get the confidence built and then they feel like they belong there, then things fall into place. But it just takes a while. As he said, experience is the only teacher.
Well, we were talking earlier about the IESA playoffs going on now. You know, got great local teams once again, as we seem to have every single year. But the difference in the speed of the game from junior high to JV and then jumping up to varsity, the Sammy Matushas of the world, the Abby Brockmeyers of the world, those are the exceptions to the rule.
Yeah.
Normally, there's a pretty healthy adjustment period going from junior high to varsity.
Well, you go from 7th grade to 8th grade, there's an adjustment. And I think the biggest adjustment in high school, you know, is that for coming out of junior high to the freshman year. It's not so much JV varsity, but it's you know, coming out of the junior high into the freshman year because, you know, it's just a much more physical ball game. And like I said, if you're a half a second, you know, you're supposed to be at a spot and you're a half a second late, pass goes by, it's out of bounds, and you've turned the ball over. So, you know, it's a situation where you have to anticipate, you have to be in the right spot at the time. You have to be thinking ahead, and that's not easy. You know, that's easy for the fan to sit in the stand and comment on because, oh, well, you know, should have had that pass. Well, it's not as easy as it looks because if it was easy, everybody could do it, trust me.
Oh, the game is so easy from the stands.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's easy to play, easy to officiate.
Well, and the game in itself, and we've talked about this over the years, how much more physical the game of basketball has become, and in particular the girls' side of things. You know, girls' basketball is physical to even go back 15 years. It's just incredible how physical the game is. How, you know, you've got coaches that teach defense and emphasize defense right out of the gates. You know, because those are the easier skills generally to work on, and then as the season whirls along, you can work on those offensive skills. So.
We've talked about the evolution of girls basketball over the years, and you always talk about that Route 16 corridor and how it's such a hotbed for elite girls basketball, and it absolutely is. But we were talking yesterday, Terry, we were talking about Abby Brockmeyer and her assault on the scoring record, and I had never thought of this, but you were talking about the girls that played in the 80s,
sure.
Plume, Lightshoe. they were playing with a boy's ball and no 3-point line.
And you know, Stacey Lefevre was one of those, from Nokomis who came up. And I said, yeah, Tim, you got to remember that this was prior to the introduction of the 3-point line. They played with a boy's size basketball. The game was so different. And still, you know, you still had elite programs. If you went very far into the postseason, you would run into T-Towns. You would run into Quincy, Notre Dame schools. You would run into, you know, programs that were played at an extremely high level, and our teams, you know, could compete with them. It was a whole different ballgame. And you walk around now, and sometimes you'll see a girl palm the girls' basketball. You know, couldn't do that.
Right.
Couldn't do that all those years ago.
That was the one that really stood out to me. Yeah. The 3-point line, we know that's relatively new in the long, scope of basketball. But to think about playing with a boys' basketball and to do what those girls did, amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and those girls, the ones that we mentioned about the scoring leaders, you know, we've kind of been keeping an eye on that as far as with Abby chasing, the record at Litchfield. You got to remember too, though, that not only did these players score, but they were great defenders. They were two-way players. It wasn't just a one-way thing. And I think that's what gets lost a lot of times when you start talking about scoring. There was a lot of defense play. You know, Kelsey Card's mom, for one, Andrea, she's just great ball players, great athletes, and maybe the offensive skills weren't there, but certainly the defensive skills were there.
So. Yeah, Abby Brockmar certainly falls into that category as well. Complete ball player, defense, and then an offense, not just a scorer, willing passer, and great court vision. And the vision is something that you just can't teach a kid to have, the court vision. That's something you either have it or you don't, and Abby Brockmar certainly has it. This is WSMI Sports Saturday here on the first Saturday in the month of December.
Darren Deneve joining us on the phone.
Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing good. Hey, going to talk to you about basketball in just a moment, but I want to go back to last week, and I mean this in all sincerity, Darren. You gave such a great speech at that ceremony. That was excellent.
Yes.
Well, I appreciate it. Not something that I spent a lot of time preparing to do, but, you know, there's a lot of good people, and so it's easy to say nice things about good people.
Yeah. Well, I was talking to the mayor yesterday, Deanna DiMuzio, at the Christmas market. We were broadcasting from the Christmas market.
Sure.
And I was just commenting, you know, how terrific the ceremony was, and I particularly mentioned, Mr. Deneve did a terrific job, and she says, you know, when you can speak from the heart, you speak well, and that's what you did, and it was terrific, and what a terrific moment for Carlindale High School in general.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it very much. You know, like you say, it's when it's meaningful, it's not that hard to do, and so, you know, I don't know what else to say, guys, but I appreciate the sentiment. Thank you.
Hey, Gray Zachary can be on my team.
Oh boy, she's really a good high school athlete. You know, she's a terrific volleyball player and a very good soccer player, and she's doing all kinds of stuff. She's averaging a double-double for me on the basketball team, and she's a nice kid, hard worker. It's just very much a pleasure to coach. She's a terrific young lady.
Darren, you guys have had a very good start to your season here.
Well, you know, we're 4-3, and, you know, last year we struggled a little bit, lost some close games, and I guess the message we've been telling our girls is that, you know, it's not easy to win basketball games, but by the same token, we can do it. And so it's going to take some hard work and some concentration on every possession, but we're trying to get that message across. And we've had some ups and downs, but, you know, it's been a nice Monday against Gillespie and a nice first half, really, Thursday against Hillsborough. And so hopefully we'll be able to compete with, most of the teams on our schedule.
Well, in that game against Hillsborough, I mean, you can't just remove quarters because that's not the way it works. But if you take out that third quarter, it was a single-digit ball game.
Yeah. Well, we've been beaten by two teams by a wide margin, and one of them was Hillsborough, and we had a really bad stretch there in the third quarter, like you say. And then we had two sort of bad stretches against Mount Olive. But, yeah, you're right. It just doesn't work that way. I'd like to take those bad stretches out, but sometimes, it's just tough when the other team has got so much firepower. You can only kind of hold them down for so long.
Boy, you guys have a quick team.
We can put different lineups out there, that's for sure. We've been tinkering around with different lineups. For a little bit we've had Taylor Wills almost as like a power forward, and she's about 5'4". And so we've done different stuff between lineups, and I hope that bodes well. We try to look at matchups, and that's what sports are all about, really, is looking at a matchup and see what matchup favors you. So we've been trying to figure that out.
Darren, when you've had your best teams at Carnival, you've had the point guard to go with the inside presence.
Well, that's, certainly we've been bigger than we've been smaller over the years. Savannah Bates was certainly a good point guard when Elizabeth Kelly was around. There's no doubt about that. And right now, Rachel Olroyd is a sophomore, and she's been playing a lot of point guard, and she's a little taller even. She's probably 5'9", and she's pretty long. And she's going to turn out to be a very good high school player. And as you say right now, Grace Zachary is doing a great job inside. And so hopefully that translates to some wins.
And just from the aspect of entertainment, you guys are fun to watch.
Well, I hope so. We do some different things out there. We've got girls that can get up and down a little bit. We've got girls that don't mind, diving on the floor for loose balls and that sort of thing. They're a good bunch of kids. They enjoy coming to practice. They're fun to be around, and that all translates onto enthusiasm on the court.
Well, the month of December always goes so fast, and I would imagine it goes doubly fast for you, Darren, because the holiday tournament will be here before we know it.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I'm going to the school right now just to get a couple hours of work done on the holiday tournament before we go to Auburn this afternoon for a game. And it's a very busy time, but it's a fun time, and I know a lot of people look forward to it. And so we're hoping to have some great crowds this year and great basketball.
Probably the biggest change on the boys' side, Hillsboro back in.
Yeah, I know Coach Vanzo is looking forward to it. They're Hillsboro boys, and they've got some really good guards. I'm hoping that the Moore boy is healthy enough to give us his best show, because he's a very good player. And, they're definitely going to be competitive in our tournament, I'm sure.
Great addition to the tournament. Great addition to the tournament.
I think so. I hope the Hillsboro fans like coming over. And, like I say, we'll hope we have some good games.
We always say, Carlinville knows how to run a tournament.
Absolutely.
Well, I appreciate that. We're trying not to rest on our laurels. We try to do a few things different every year, make it just a little bit better. And so we'll see how it comes on December 26th.
Darren Deneve, the girls' head basketball coach at Carlinville and the athletic director, thank you for some time today, sir. And, hey, good luck at Auburn.
All right, appreciate it, guys. Good hearing from you.
Thanks, Darren. Bye. WSMI-FM 106, Illini basketball coming up this afternoon on the Ox 105.3 as the Illini take on VCU. Pregame at 1, tip at 2, and we'll have it for you on the Ox, where you can find all the Illini broadcasts this year. 105.3 WAOX.
Important year for the Illini in a lot of respects, especially for John Gross. Of course, he's got that great recruiting class coming in next year. Hopefully he can survive through next year. I like John Gross as a basketball coach.
Oh,
he's had
too.
Nothing but bad luck and injury since
lots
he's been
of
there,
luck.
Coach.
It's all been bad.
Bit of it has been.
It really has been. And as part of that ACC Big Ten challenge against NC State, now NC State wasn't They're not Duke. But still, they play in a decent conference. They're good competition. Illinois played extremely well on their home floor the other night. The question is here, are they able to take the show on the road? And I'm not real sure about that.
They've had a problem with
they
that.
They have had a problem. A huge. In fact, they've had a problem of playing at home.
They just had problems, period. And that's where Illinois is at right now. It doesn't really matter who the opponent is.
Yeah.
They just have to play good basketball. I mean, so if NC State's down, who cares? They still played a good game and took care of business. Think about the overtime loss at home to Winthrop is bad.
Yeah.
You can't.
That's one that got away.
And they've lost too many of those types of games the last several years. If you want to make the tournament, you can't lose those games.
Yeah, those are the important ones. That's why they're non-conference games. You try to build the resume early on so that if you have to look back, and take a look at who you played and, were you able to win the games that you were supposed to win. And They didn't win that one. So.
And they're a strange team because they have 2 6th-year seniors.
Yeah.
6th-year seniors.
What are the odds that a college basketball team would have 1 6-year senior, let alone 2?
Right. Astronomical.
It is. It just is. But it says something, I think, about John Gross and the program and the fact that these guys wanted to stick around and be part of this program. So, because it is, whether we like it or not, this program has been in transition from the get-go with Coach Gross because of the injury situation.
And, you know, and that's generally the thing. There's so much turnover in collegiate coaching now, and people want instant gratification. But if Illinois would have been in a good spot, they never would have changed coaches in the first place. Teams that are good consistently, they don't change their coaches because the program's rolling. So when a new guy comes in, it takes time. And a lot of times, it's just going to take a little bit longer than people think it should or maybe than people want it to take. But I'm of the firm belief, if John Gross is just given time with this recruiting class that he has coming in next year, I think Illinois is primed to turn the corner and get back to that level of basketball that we've come used to expect from the Illini. Yes. I mean, if your team's good, you don't get rid of the coach.
That's right. That's right. That's
if the program wasn't in disarray, Bruce Weber would still be there.
Yeah.
But the program was flailing.
It was
so
flailing.
So in comes John Gross. And then, remember, his first year, he did what Bruce Weber was not able to do. He took Brandon Paul and DJ Richardson to the tournament.
Yes, yes, yes. So, you know, it was kind of rudderless when Weber was there in his final years. And
hard to say what happened there, really.
It really was, because Bruce Weber really isn't that bad of a coach.
No, good
coach.
I
mean, he's had success everywhere he's been, but it just kind of got rudderless there.
You hear about, you know, you need a new voice, and maybe that was just, and it reached that point, maybe it was just time for a change. They've made the change, but I really hope that John Gross is the coach of the Illini for the foreseeable future.
Good guy.
Oh,
he really is.
And he can recruit.
Yeah, he can recruit. He has been proven to, this recruiting class he's got coming in next year, top 10.
Top 10 in the
in
country.
The nation.
Yeah,
in the nation.
And this kid for me, St. Louis, is a stud.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stud.
And he is committed to Illinois.
Yeah. 6'11", like 250.
Yeah. Body.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that is probably the one thing that the Illini have been missing.
They've been missing that for years. Yeah.
The old aircraft carriers,
right?
That's exactly right. You've got to have that big, bruising body that can get your rebound, and you can throw it on the block, and he can muscle it up.
Well, you got to have that in the Big Ten Conference.
You have to.
Yes. You know, other conferences around the country, perhaps not. But in the Big Ten, you better darn well have a guy like that.
It's a must.
By the way, very quickly, we talked with Darren Deneve just moments ago, and Carlinville is playing Auburn in girls basketball, high school basketball today. Of course, Auburn is hosting an IESA state tournament, so they're going to play that varsity basketball game, Carlinville versus Auburn at Di Vernon. They're going to be at Di Vernon today, so because Auburn High School is actually hosting the IESA event. So.
Okay.
So just in case anybody's interested, the game's actually going to be at Divey.
They hosted the 7th grade tournament last year. Of course, Gillespie was up there a year ago and trying to punch their ticket back this year.
How about that? But they have to go through the Terriers.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
The Terriers of 1993 or 1983 were my first state tournament broadcast. Yes.
How about that?
How about that? So.
Then 10 years later, we all know what happened.
Then 10 years later, they said, well, this tournament's over.
Not so fast.
Ooh, really?
And we've talked about it before.
And people have asked me what, you know, some, and boy, how lucky have I been personally to be around some great games and everything. But to me, and all the neat things that have happened, the story of the Staunton Bulldogs in 1993 still probably has to rank as the greatest sports story in the 10 years since I've been at this radio station.
The term Cinderella gets thrown around a lot.
Yeah.
That 93 Staunton team, that was a Cinderella team. Two-class system going up against big, bad Chicago Hales Franciscan.
Yeah.
They had no chance.
No chance.
Until they did.
So that just, to this day, gives me goosebumps just to.
That was the first state tournament I ever attended.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
So you have some neat memories about it.
Oh, absolutely. I can remember vividly. I remember the semifinal day. We've talked about it before.
Yeah.
Everyone talked about the Cairo, or is it Cairo? Cairo.
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 The Cairo Hills Franciscan game. Well, that's the state championship game. That's the state championship game this afternoon. And I'll always remember Tyrone Nesby. Remember Tyrone Nesby?
Tyrone Nesby.
He had a breakaway, and we were sitting in the upper bowl of the Assembly Hall, and he went in for a dunk, and he bricked that thing so hard, I swear it went up to the ceiling.
Yes,
I swear it did.
It was an infield fly rule.
Man.
I mean, that sucker was up there, wasn't it? I remember watching that, man. That was crazy. That was crazy. But, and you know, and we were talking off the air about when we get to visit these schools and we get to look at the trophies and everything. And, you know, when you walk into Staunton High School and you see that display there, man, that is so neat and brings back such great memories.
I stop every time in the
morning. Oh, yeah.
I did it last night.
Yeah, you could stand there for 5-10 minutes and just go, I remember that. I remember. Oh, yeah.
And they've got the an opposite case, exactly opposite now, the basketball trophy displaying their state runner-up football trophy from 2013.
Cool.
Can't beat State Hardware.
No, you can't. Nope. Hardware has a neat spot.
Yes, it does.
In all of our high school trophy cases, and we hope that of course, Cavaliers are adding another trophy to their trophy
case. You know, I was looking at their trophy case last week. They need a bigger trophy case.
Yeah, they do.
It's spilling over. Busting at the seams.
Don't we consider that a first world problem?
Yes, that is a first world problem right there. Our trophy case is not big enough. We need to get to a break. We're back with more in a moment.
WSMI Sports Saturday rolls on here on this third day of December. Let's talk a little bit about Cardinal baseball.
Jaime Garcia.
Jaime.
Bye-bye.
Hasta la vista. We were wondering, is that going to happen this year?
No problem with it.
I don't either.
The only downside is they don't have a lefty in the rotation right now.
No.
But let's be honest, you couldn't rely on Jaime Garcia to actually be healthy to be a lefty in the rotation.
Yeah, that was the problem. And I think as nasty as he could be when he was on, there was just no consistency.
No. Well, you would hear guys talk about it. You couldn't even play catch with the guy
because
he couldn't even throw the ball straight when he's playing catch. So, I mean, that does lend itself to a little bit of inconsistency when you're on the mound.
And, of course, the Cardinals, you know, sent him to Atlanta. And in return, they get Lanny Dykstra's boy. And we'll see how that works out. I don't know. But with the new collective bargaining agreement in place, top-tier free agents, you know, it's not going to cost the teams the top draft pick. Looks like baseball will have labor peace for another 5 years, which is, I think, pretty darn important when you're talking about the game of Major League Baseball.
Well, there's an opening right now for baseball to kind of re-elevate itself into the pantheon of sports here in America. And a labor strike would have been a death knell for it.
Yeah. And the one thing, really, and this is just a minor thing, and we've talked about this off the air, I would like to have seen a little work done concerning the roster. And, you know, we've talked about the 40-man roster late in the year, really kind of dumb. I'd much rather see a 40-man roster the first month of the season instead of the late in the season, and maybe go with a 26th roster spot. But that was never, you know, those two ideas were voted down. So.
That's right. Mike McPhee says, I don't need 26. I don't even need 25. Give me 18. That's all I need. I'll play with them.
18 and 4 pitchers.
That's right.
Yeah.
See, will the Cardinals sign Dexter Fowler? That is the big question. I hope they do.
I'm just
afraid they won't pony up and pay the man.
Well, they need to pony up and pay the man.
They've got the money. They always talk about how they have the money, but then they don't spend the money.
Well, the thing of it is, you want 3.5 million people come through the turnstiles, you better have a leadoff guy.
And we saw the attendance start to dip a little bit late last year when, I mean, the product was bad last year. It was hard to watch.
It was hard to watch Cardinal baseball.
It was brutal.
It was. It really was. Especially when you had a team like the Cubs who were so much fun to watch. They were a blast to watch.
How about John Jay on the Cubbies now?
Oh, yeah.
That'll be a good addition for them. Winning ball player.
Yeah. Guy that's been a winner at every level. A guy that, the thing that I always thought the Cardinals missed was the fact that he had a lot of postseason experience and basically hit, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I always thought John Jay hit well and played well in the postseason.
He did. Big games, tough at bat. Well, remember, he got a huge hit in the 2011 World Series to extend that game in extra innings.
You know, and it was a long at bat.
Yes.
Took a lot of pitches and worked the pitcher. So, you know.
Who knows? He might wind up being the best ex-Cardinal on the Cubs.
Well, he might be. He might be. So I think the Cubs made a good move in acquiring John Jay. So, but you're right. The Cardinals, I think, should really pursue Dexter Fowler. I think he was your true leadoff guy. And then you can do a lot of different things with your lineup. And
well, if you get Fowler, bat him leadoff, mm-hmm. put Carpenter in the two hole.
Yeah.
There wouldn't be much of a better table setting 1-2 combo right. in all of baseball
yeah.
than those two guys.
Yeah. Yeah. And Fowler being a switch hitter, gives you a lot of options. So
I've heard some people are concerned about his range going, cause Wrigley Field is small. I'm not worried about that. He's not 50 years old. He's only 30. He's only 30.
Yeah.
I mean, goodness. He's got 3 to 4 great years left in him.
Yeah, I think.
And he used to play center field in Colorado, for heaven's sake.
Well, which is the biggest, that's like the Grand Canyon out there. So, yeah.
There's been a little scuttlebutt about the Cardinals potentially pursuing Justin Turner, the Dodgers' third baseman. We'll see about that. If they did that, supposedly they would look into trading Peralta. It does sound like Matt Carpenter will be the first baseman next year, which I like that. Get Matt Adams, go away.
Well,
he can go with Jaime Garcia. Just take him. I don't care what you get for him. Just remove him, please.
Well, and the thing about Carpenter, it's good to have the ability to play many different places, but Carpenter seemed to be a pretty good fit at first. And then you work around. Yeah, I think you're set at shortstop. I still think second base is a problem.
It certainly has been.
And maybe, and I don't think John Mozeliak is nearly done wheeling and dealing here coming into this season. I hope not, simply because the National League Central is a brutal division. So you better be stocked up. So
we talked about this over the years as the Cubs were building to what eventually ended in the World Championship. Theo Epstein, he's brought the Boston-New York flavor to it. He's looking to stomp on the Cardinals' throat. I mean, think about since the Red Sox won and broke their curse in 2004, they have been better than the Yankees consistently.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that is what he's aiming for now with the Cubs. So the Cardinals got to step up. You can't rest. It doesn't. 1926, you know, all the talk about 1908 with the Cubs. Yeah. I don't care what the Cardinals did in 1926.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. What happened last year was an embarrassment.
Well, in sports in general, what have you done for me lately?
Absolutely.
And especially at the professional level. And as you mentioned, the Cardinals were just sometimes agonizing to watch.
Couldn't catch the ball. Couldn't run the bases.
Oh. Couldn't get a hit with runners in scoring position. That was a Cardinal team just a few years ago that not only led the league, but set a record with getting runners home from second base and from third base with two outs and stuff like that.
That was clearly an outlier.
Yeah. Yeah. So
they've got to field the ball better, and I don't expect them to run the bases better as long as Mike Matheny's the manager, because he's got this crazy concept of just run until they tag you out like it's Little League.
Right.
He preaches aggressiveness. We want to be aggressive. To a point, you have to have sense on the bases. You have to.
Yeah.
They run into so many outs. So many outs.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And sometimes just getting the ball put into play, instead of swinging for the fences, that's, I think, a league-wide problem.
Oh, that's a sabermetrician problem.
Yeah.
These sabermetricians, and I got no problem with sabermetrics to a point, but when they try to convince you that a strikeout is just like a ground ball to second, they're so wrong.
Yeah.
So very, very wrong.
Yeah.
You put the ball in play, anything can happen.
That's right.
If you just sit there and swing from your heels and strike out, there's no pressure on the defense.
Yeah. And I think probably the sad thing about the strikeouts is the fact that, it's just part of the game now. And nobody...
It's accepted.
Yeah, it's accepted. And why?
That's one of the great things about Anthony Rizzo. Mm-hmm. When he gets two strikes, the man chokes up.
Oh, yeah. 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 He's a professional hitter, and he proves it.
Absolutely. He stands right on top of the plate and doesn't wear that body armor.
Challenges his.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, throw it at me, big boy.
That's right. I ain't scared.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, we've got basketball coming up Monday night. We've got high school basketball coming up Tuesday night. We've got the Illini coming up this afternoon at 1 on 105.3 WAOX.
Tis the season.
Tis the season, that's right.
Sports Saturday is done here on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WQSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville. For Terry Tote, I'm Tim Mize. Talk to you next week.